Well, here we are again on a wonderful Sunday. The opportunity to be in God's house, an opportunity to join together. Although we're missing many, many people here, but those that are here, God is here. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe He wants us to continue on in sharing into this area of sacrifice. It's not a pleasant word to hear sometimes, is it? When you hear somebody come and say, "Would you sacrifice something for me?" Or, "I need you to do this. It's going to take some of your time," or whatever. Last week we looked into God's Word where Paul and Peter had talked about living sacrifices and being sacrifices. Romans 12:1, and Peter, we looked at that in 1 Peter 2, 4-5, about living stones. Remember, Romans 12:1 says this, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, or pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service, or your rational service to Him. 1 Peter 2, 4-5 talks about the chosen stone, chosen people. It says, come to Him as to a living stone. That living stone we know is who? Jesus. Come to Jesus, the living stone, who was rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Last week we had talked about the definition. Biblically, the definition of a sacrifice would be the act of giving up something that you want to keep. Boy, there it is, right there in the nutshell. Giving up something that you want to keep. In order to get or to do something else, or to help someone. You know, we talk about that sacrifice. We have to lay our lives down. Jesus laid His life down for the very being of you individually, although we're many, many centuries removed from when this all took place. His death way back on the cross was still for us today, for you today, that sacrifice. An act of killing a person or an animal in a religious ceremony as an offering to please God. Now, we're going to not deal with a lot of that took place, but because that was the Old Testament. But here's another area of the definition for the area of a sacrifice. Something given up or something that's lost. An act of offering something to a deity, and this is what I like, that is precious. You know, back in the days of the Old Testament sacrifices, those animals that were sacrificed, were they the runt of the litter? Were they the ones that had deformities? Did they have something wrong with them that they would not make a good animal down the line and all? No. Those animals, those sacrifices back in the day of the Old Testament, they were the ones that were perfect. They were the animals that would be precious, that would be valuable, that would be worth a lot more than some of those others in that litter or in that, whatever you call it, group of animals. The herd, I guess, or something like that. No, that farmer or that rancher would take the sheep or the bull or whatever that had no blemishes, that when you look at it would say in the Rock County 4-H Fair, they would get the blue ribbon. They would get the highest dollar auction because they were just great. They were big. They were beautiful. But yet that was the animal back in the Old Testament that was sacrificed to God because they needed to bring the best to God. And do you think that still is for us today? Not the animal sacrifice, for sure. I'm glad of that. But to give God your best, to give God your precious things that He would ask for you to maybe surrender or to place before Him. And we may come up with some of these things that we want to look at. But I know it's a hard thing when we talk about, well, let's be a sacrifice. Sacrifice yourself, you know, surrender yourself. But God's Word is telling us to do that. Notice that which is offered up is what? Something of worth, value, precious. It's not your leftovers. It's not something that means nothing to you. It is something to be that still has worth and value to you. How interesting it is, and I know in our church lives a lot of times when people go through their closets or their garages or their sheds or their basements, and they come across different articles of whatever it may be, they're no longer using it. It may be dirty. It may be not working totally right. Pieces are broke of it or whatever. Sometimes the first thought is, I think I'll donate it to the church. I bet the church could use this. It's sad. It's true. It's true. It's sad. I talked to several of my pastor friends in town, and we kind of joke about those things, about, oh, yeah, anytime somebody wants to call you up, say, Pastor, I've got blah, blah, whatever, and we don't need it anymore. We're clearing out the basement. We need more room for our stuff. Is it okay if we give you this broken-down piano, and you come and haul it out of the basement? Do all the keys work? Well, not all of them. They stick here and there. Oh, and that pedal, it doesn't quite work anymore. And, well, the bench, my husband's had to put duct tape and wire around it to kind of hold the leg on, but it's still good. We'd like to donate it to the church. We want to donate it to the work of God. No, that doesn't sound like something that's a prized possession of yours. It doesn't sound like it's got value per se. It might have junk value or, you know, whatever. You know, nowadays, melt down and take the wires and use it for metal or something. I don't know. But that doesn't sound value to me. That doesn't sound precious. And that's how sometimes we are with God in our lives. We have all kinds of time in our day, all kinds of days in our weeks, and God has asked us maybe or prompted us maybe to help or be a part of something, an outreach, a ministry, help, maybe just help within the church of taking care of the very basic necessities of trying to keep the church up. I tell you what, it would knock your socks off to find out that to cut this property here takes about 4 hours or more. And that's with a riding tractor that's got a deck this wide. By the time you cut an hour back here and about two and a half or 3 hours out here from all over the things and cutting the ditches with a hand mower because you can't get the tractor on that steep incline, so you have to use a push mower, and you're like a billy goat walking sideways. I think of myself when I've done that. I thought, it's almost like a goat. I'm standing on the side of a hill or a mountain, you know. Bah, bah, you know. But but those are things that have to be done. Unless you want everything, and just look around the window of my office. It's a lot of weeds growing up around there. They're about this high. You know, it takes a lot. Those that have helped clean the church and all with mopping down and vacuuming, and it got to the point where sometimes we had help, and I said, well, just touch the spots that you can touch that people see, but that leaves a lot of spots that cobwebs grow and things happen, you know. It happens. So it may be an area of a sacrifice of taking time out of a week to come and help clean the church, help do some yard work, help do whatever the case might be. And it's not those times to where we go, you know, you call up the pastor at the last moment, hey, pastor, I've got just about a 45 minutes or an hour. I could really come out and help if you like. It's like, well, it's going to take 15 minutes to get out there. Time we get everything out to get done, you know, it's going to take another 10 minutes. So you got like 30 minutes. It's really not worth the aggravation, really. Because all of a sudden a person finds time or, oh, all of a sudden I think I can help with that outreach. And it's like, well, it's too late now. The outreach, we were planning that for some time back and nobody stepped up. So we kind of had to let that go because we just can't all of a sudden, outreach is on Saturday and on Thursday, the week of, say, oh, all of a sudden I got three people that can help. We can do it now. It takes planning and preparation. It takes the people to look at those things to say, I've got to sacrifice that time. I've got to look and say, this is what they're wanting to do. I'm going to have to take that whatever time, whatever day, whatever relevant thing that they have to do, and they've got to carve that into their own personal schedule and say, I'm going to sacrifice that. I'm going to give that to the work of the ministry or the work of God's church, whatever the case might be. It might be going out and doing an event. It might be even taking time to share the gospel with maybe someone in the public eye, you know, a waitress, somebody working in a store. You know, there's a multitude of areas out there that God will pull on you to sacrifice your time. There's been many a times that I would want to just say, "Nope, I'm sorry, we don't deliver food and all that." But I've heard some stories, and you listen to the person enough, and then all of a sudden, it doesn't happen to all of them. But there's a prompting in my spirit that it must be the Holy Spirit, I believe, that says, "Well, they need help. What are you going to do about it?" And as I'm talking to the person, I'm having a battle in my mind. I don't want to do it. I don't have the time. We don't deliver food, but they need help. And they truly have a viable reason why they can't. And you are going that way. It's just going to take 10 minutes, you know, to pack up some food. It's going to just maybe take 5 minutes out of your time of just, you know, going off to a little bit of a detour to bless them and then go and finish to do what you have to do. So I'm talking to myself about these things. I'm not just laying it all on you guys. I'm talking to Tim. Isn't that nice? I hear myself. I've got voices in my head. How about you, huh? But it is something of value, something of worth. In the Old Testament, we'd already talked some areas, but there's many types of sacrifices in the Old Testament that we're not going to get into, but there was the animal sacrifices, there's grain sacrifices, there's daily sacrifices, there's weekly sacrifices, there's even monthly and yearly sacrifices. You know, you get into Leviticus and those Old Testament books, and I tell you, they were sacrificing something every day, every hour, it seemed like, you know, because of honoring and obeying God, you know, and being that called to follow that type of sacrifice. I'm happy to the point that I'm glad it's not as stringent as that today, per se, but there are sacrifices that we need to make. We've learned that all the sacrifices that the people would do in the Old Testament would not fulfill what the sacrifice that Jesus came and fulfilled for us, did it? You know, as many bulls and rams and goats or sheep or whatever the case might have been that were sacrificed, those perfect ones, those good ones, the ones that probably would have value if we were to sell them on an auction block, they were killed and the blood was spilt out to... At that time, it would not wash away the sins. It was going to cover the sins of the people for a year. Bring all your sins for this year in, and the priest will sacrifice, and the blood of this goat or this animal or this bull will cover your sins for this year. And remember to come back next year. We'll be doing the same thing to maybe even cover those same sins again because they were just covering the sins. They were just making an act of what they were doing as a sacrifice. But Jesus came and fulfilled a sacrifice of that of a lamb. But he was the perfect sacrifice, wasn't he? Here again, a man without spot or blemish, a man that had no sin, a perfect man. It says in John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away what? The sin of the world." This one man, Jesus, was going to accomplish for the whole world, and not just back in that time of the cross, but for the whole world and the year of 2018. Isn't that great? 2018 even. And that sacrifice he did back then, it's going to be good if the Lord should tarry and everything continues on as it's going. It'll be for those in the ages of 2025 or 2030 or whatever the year it is. Those sins in that time frame are covered and washed. Not covered, but I should say washed away as people receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The next day, John saw Jesus coming and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, today and forever." Amen. That's just my added to it. Today and forever. So let us move ahead a little bit to the present day. Just what could be or what would be or even should be the sacrifices expected of that of a Christian? Remember this now. The sacrifice is, in a true sense, something of value. It has worth. So we can look through God's Word a little bit. And there's a lot of things in there, but we're just going to touch upon a few things. How about lives of service to God? We've already touched upon that in Romans 12:1 and 1 Peter 2:5. We've already shared that, and those are Romans 12:1 and 1 Peter 2:4-5. Talks about living sacrifices, living stones, spiritual sacrifices. Those are lives of service to God. That's something that day in and day out we're to do. Amen? It's not just to have a one sacrifice for the year. It's not just to have, well, I've sacrificed now and I don't have to sacrifice for the rest of my life. No, these are ongoing. These are living times of sacrificing that we do. Praising and confessing God in Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews 13:15. So in Hebrews 13:15, the New King James says, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name," or confessing thanks to his name. That's the fruit of your lips, speaking forth out of your mouth, amen, sacrifice of praise, thanks to his name. In the New Living, it says, "Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name." Notice that word, continual sacrifice of praise to God. I would believe probably most of us, one time or another throughout the week or a day, as something is happening, has anything ever prompted you and maybe all of a sudden just out of your gut or out of your just, boom, well, praise you, God. Thank you, Father. What a loving God. Oh, Father God, thank you for Jesus. God, what a beautiful this. God, what a wonderful that. You know, that's those things, I believe, of that living, you know, that sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, where we're speaking it out rather than just thinking about it. Like you go buy something and you go, you didn't know what I just thought, and what I just said in my mind. But if I go, wow, God bless you, Father, what a wonderful this, or God, what a wonderful story I just heard, or, you know, I've heard of a testimony or something, or somebody spoke or shared something, whatever the case might be, then it brings you back to that level of saying, God, you are a good God. What a wonderful thing I've heard, that how this situation happened in this person's life and you were there. Or that I noticed something in nature and I noticed the very minute little details that you take in of all of your creatures, whether they're us or whether they're that of animals, wildlife. It's just a marvelous thing to see his hand upon nature. Amen? Amen. I get out here and I didn't get a chance to. It was in the afternoon, but I want to catch a morning out here where the sun is hitting. But out here in the field, in certain places, there's a weed, as there are a lot of weeds out there. But it's a real fine head of weed at the top, real fine heads. And right now they're starting to turn like a burnt red. And it's really neat. If you probably take one and hold it by itself, you wouldn't really notice much of the colorization. But when you put that one with a group of them like so, and they're stacked here, or they're out in groups and bunches, and as the sun hits them on a particular day, and you look out there, I pick up on those things, and I go, wow, it's like a burnt reddish or a burnt orange. It's kind of like that, well, it is. It's like a fall. It's telling us that fall is coming into the time where summer is passing, and we're getting ready to see a change of colors. We're getting ready to see a change of the things that are out there that we've grown accustomed to throughout the last 3 or 4 months, and now we're going to see them change and telling us that it's time to get your muckalucks and your hats and your gloves ready, because snow is coming in another few months. But it's to see the transition of nature And when I see that, I might be driving that little mower cutting. I see that and I go, wow, God, what a blessing. That is beautiful, God. My lips, just offering that sacrifice of praise, that sacrifice of just speaking forth what I see him doing or what he has done. So as I look at this, I want to look at a little side note in regards to Hebrews 13:15 in my Bible, and it says this. Now speaking about talks about the sacrifice of praise. Why is praising God a sacrifice? Well, the word comes from a Greek word that comes from the root that says it's a meaning to kill or slaughter for a purpose. Praise often requires that we kill our pride, our fear, our sloth, our slothfulness. Anything that threatens to diminish or interfere with our worship of the Lord, we've got to put it aside. This is a footnote. This is a dynamic note coming out of this particular part of passage in Hebrew that I've got in my study Bible. But it's those things that's we have to put down our pride. We've got to put down the fear. We got the sloth. We might say, oh, I'm tired. I don't feel like shouting a praise. I just want to lay down. I don't want to stand up and lift my hands. I just want to come to church and sit in the chair and look at the bulletin and just kind of nod my head, and that's my praise and worship. That's kind of a slothfulness. That's kind of like you got to get your pride out of there. You got to get to the point where I'm going to church and I might be tired or whatever. I'm going to raise my hands to God. Hallelujah. Or I'm at home or I'm anywhere else and I'm just going to worship my God. Hallelujah. You can praise God in more places than the church, right? Amen. You know that. But we've got to be willing to kill those areas. That's a sacrifice. Remember, sacrifice in the old was killing something? Well, in the new, and looking at, you know, just the thought process, you gotta die to self. Talks about some of that in God's Word. We have to get our pride out of the way. We gotta get our fear. What are they gonna think of me if I start singing? I don't sing very well. I sing off key. Oh, I don't want to sing. I don't want to make people, that's kind of foolishness. Or you get into a public setting for something and praise and worship in a public venue for prayer, like tonight maybe, and they're singing and you're going, oh, I don't know. Or they're praising and you're going, I don't really want to lift my voice and I'm kind of shy. I'll just stand back and just hold it in. No, you might have to kill that feeling, that fear and that whatever that is holding you back. Anything that threatens to diminish or interfere with your worship of the Lord, you've got to kill it. Amen? You got to lay it down. You've got to just be worshiping. We also discover here that the basis of our praise is the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by Him and in Him, with Him, to Him, and for Him that we offer our sacrifice of praise to God. Is that a New Living Translation? Therefore, let us offer through who? Jesus. A continual praise or continued sacrifice of praise to God. So it is by Him, in Him, with Him, to Him, for Him that we offer our thanks, our sacrifice of praise to God. Praise will never be successfully hindered when we keep its focus on Him. If we keep our focus on Him, really, you're not going to be worried about what's going on around you, are you? You're focused just on Him. You're in your own, so to speak, little world with Him, having a wonderful time. You know, you might be sitting in a community room in an apartment complex, you know, and you're just smiling and just moving your head, and somebody comes and says, well, what are you doing? Are you, you know, I don't see earbuds in you. Are you listening to music? I don't hear music. And you're going, no, I don't have earbuds in. I'm not listening to music, but I'm just rejoicing with my Lord, and I'm just repeating in my mind a song that we sang at church on Sunday. What was that? We lift our voices. We lift our hands. We lift our lives up to You. We are an offering. Or what is that other one? Jesus, comfort, or something like that. The second one or so in. Just beautiful words as you just look at those things. Just Jesus, our comforter. Jesus, our... I can't remember the exact titles and all that. But you might be sitting there with no music on, and you're just in your own little world, you know. Now, what about deeds of kindness? Anybody here like to be kind? Just going into Hebrews, just, you know, we stopped at 13:15. If you go to Hebrews just 13:16, it says, "Do not forget to do good, to share with which such sacrifices." Well, let me read that over. "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Deeds of kindness. "But do not forget to do good and to share with those in need, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Amen. God loves it when he sees his kids out there helping others, serving others, giving something of themselves to somebody else for just maybe a little bit of a time. Deeds of kindness. We have, a place in town that has household things and whatnot and different things. I think they call it acts of kindness. There it is, acts of kindness, where somebody gets an apartment, they don't have a bed, they get an apartment, we don't have a dresser, we don't have a kitchen table. I think I'm thinking of the same organization. And they help the homeless that, you know, when they finally get a place that they can call home, that they can have these furnishings or these things that are necessary to have life, really, you know. But that's deeds of kindness, acts of kindness. He wants us to do those things. You yourself, you may not have this or that, or maybe you do have something, and maybe it is something. You know, sometime back, we did some changing out of some things at our house, and we had an appliance that was still good, but it just didn't fit the scheme of things. And, you know, you hear tell and hear somebody that might need something like that, or they don't have something like that, and you go, okay, Lord. That came to my mind. Is that something that we need to maybe bless that person with? And it is, you know, and before you take it, you clean it up, you wipe it out, you do whatever, you wipe it down, you clean it, and you take the stuff, you present it to them as a good thing. Say, here, it's no longer used for us, and we've got something else that's taken its place, and this is only so many years old, maybe 2 years old. I'm sure there's still a lot of life in it. You don't have it. We've got it. We don't need it. Here, be blessed. What do you want for it? I go, we don't want nothing. It's just God's blessing. God bless you. Deeds of kindness. These things come up. It doesn't have to be monumental. It can be little things, big things, medium size. But it's just being sensitive to the things of God, to be that sacrifice. Lord, I want to be a living sacrifice. When I go out and do something of a good deed, I don't want people to say, well, here, I guess I better pay you, because the world would want something. You know, if the world does something for me, generally they're going to say, well, you need to pay. But if we do it for the kingdom of God, we should believe. And many times I tell people, God is my provider. I said, he's just, you know, I just want to bless him. Here, it's yours. What do you charge for a wedding? I don't really have a set charge. I don't tell them it's this much to get married. I've done weddings for whatever amounts of money. I've done weddings and I've gotten nothing. I always tell whoever it is that God is my provider and he will sustain me. I'm serving him. I'll be glad to help. I'd be glad, honored to do this for you, to help you, whatever. Even for those that at times maybe are living together, to where I can say, hey, I count it great joy to help you come out of sin. Because in God's eyes, that's sin, living together, not being married. I don't want to get paid for that. I don't have a fee that I've got to sit there. I don't feel like I'm a lawyer or a doctor to say, well, for that, it's $80 for that. But I can tell you, I've been blessed by those that give. I have found usually if you just leave it up to God, you may actually get more than what you would even ask, and I don't even have an idea what to ask. I just say, God, it's for you. And if nothing comes in, it's like, God, it's for you. Bless God. What do you do for a funeral? How many times I've done funerals for people that I don't really even know? People that, even through the program for the chaplain for the police department, one time I did a funeral for a family. What do you charge? I said, I don't charge anything. You know, it's just, God is my provider. I am serving God. God is my source. I just want to honor him in all that I say and do. You're there at the people's needs. You're there whether they're happy needs of being married, or you're there at the sad times when a loved one has died and maybe they don't have a church home or they don't have a pastor or whatever the case might be. And that's usually the first thing they'll always ask in the front of it. They think, well, how much do you charge? How much do you charge? What do you do? What do you? And it's like, well, let's get this out of the way right away. I look at him and go, I don't know. I just don't have a fee. But God provides. And yes, I've been paid, and yes, they've given me wonderful blessings, you know, but it's unexpected. But I feel that's that part of that kindness thing. It's just going out and just giving of yourself. Just giving of yourself. And, you know, to do sometimes like a 25-minute service for a funeral, it's probably, you've got probably 8 to 12 hours or so or more built into just trying to put things together, even more several days of just pulling things together and thinking about it and processing it a little bit and trying to get the heartbeat of the family and then going out and doing that or the wedding or whatever the case might be. So acts are deeds of kindness. Do not forget to do good and to share with those in need. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And that's what it all goes. It boils down to whether it's me, I hope it's boiling down to whether it is you, that whatever happens, that God is what? Pleased. That God gets the glory. Then we get into Philippians 4:18. It talks about, indeed I have all and abound. I am full, having received the things that you've sent to me. A sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And this is talking about gifts of money for use in God's work. You know, it's that thing there that God, His kingdom is out and about. His kingdom is moving on. And He will take care of it. He will finance it. He will bring money into whatever is necessary for different things that He's asked us to do. We should just rest into that. But here we go in Philippians talking about that, you know, He has all and He abounds and He's full. He's received it, the things that they've sent to Him. And He takes it as a sweet-smelling aroma. Back in, you know, the days at times in the Old Testament, they would be talking about a sweet-smelling aroma, you know, and it was some of those sacrifices that would burn. Could be some kind of like a grain or food or whatever it was, how they were sacrificing. But there could be an aroma there or whatever of that burning sacrifice. We are talked about or we're told to be a sweet-smelling aroma to those around us, you know, at times. The Christian Standard Bible says this for Philippians 4:18, but I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied. I have received what you've provided. It's a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Sacrifice. I tell you what, that's sometimes to try to pry somebody's hands off of a $10 bill to give to the ministry or something like that, that could be a challenge in itself because sometimes people just hold on to it like, oh, no, that's all the churches want. That's all the pastors want is money. No. If they're really, truly in the sense of God's work, they'll let God take care of it and God will bring those to provide. God will speak to those in the congregation to give a special donation, a special offering. They will ask and say, well, if this is what you want to do, here's finances. I've seen that throughout the years here at the church in the over 20 plus years of different outreaches that we've done or areas of ministry or things of this nature that people have given or they've come into some kind of a larger type of a income for whatever reason and they've given an offering into the church to where that can be used to supply this, that can be used to help cover that, whatever the case might be. Yes, we've got to understand that the church to exist in our community, it takes what? Finances to run it. It takes money to turn the lights on. It takes money to have the fire extinguishers checked. It takes money to have the well checked for the health department. You know, if the lot needs to be fixed or we have to seal the parking lot, that could be $3,000 to $4,000 to $5,000. You know, I said earlier a few weeks back that we've already bought our pre-buy for the coming season, and that was over $5,000 that we've already had in the already had it all saved up because of trying to be good stewards of God's finances and what is given into the church because we know that these expenses are coming. So we can order 3,500 gallons of LP and pay $5,035 or whatever the case might be and see how long that lasts us and hopefully gets us into the next year. It's being good stewards of what God has given you, but it runs on the giving of the people. Amen? And here again, God provides. He's a faithful God. He has never failed us. He has never failed me. He's never failed this church. It may look like at times your back is against the wall. It may look like, wow, look at where we're at. And I know Lou has been an advisor from the day of dirt started out, I guess, with the church. And I know you've had some interesting meetings throughout the years of financial things, you know, and where it's stretched. And boy, what's going to happen? Or where are we going to have this? Or where is this at, you know? But in all the times, you can always see how God provides. He changes things. He brings things in. He takes things out. He, you know, it's just one of those things. But he is a providing God. And then here's, like I said here, I'm saving the best for last. I didn't want you to run out first thing. I mean, we're almost at the end, but we haven't taken the offering yet, so don't go. Maybe let's receive the offering first before I give. Total commitment. A total commitment. Talking about sacrifices. Talking about giving your best. Giving something of worth. Giving something that's precious. Remember, that's what it's all about. But total commitment. This would be self-denial, really. Total commitment to Christ. In Matthew 16:24. So we look at Matthew 16:24-25. It's talking about that old, my heading above the scripture verse of 24 says, take up the cross and follow him. A total commitment. Take up his cross and to follow him. Don't take up your cross, you know. Take up his cross. But we all have a cross to bear, don't we? We all have our own cross. It says this, then Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, what to do? Well, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Take up his cross. So I said that, you know, it's Jesus' cross. We're actually taking up our cross. What is it that we've got to bear? That's our cross, okay? And follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Find it. If you're going to save your life for yourself, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for Jesus, you will find it. Okay, quickly here. A little footnote says this. Jesus explains the paradox of discipleship. To lose life is to find it. To die is to live. To deny oneself is not to assume some false external asceticism, something like that, but to put the interest of the kingdom first and foremost in one's life. To take up the cross does not mean to endure some irritating burden, but to renounce self-centered ambitions. Such sacrifice results in eternal life and the fullest experience of the kingdom life that we would experience now. But to deny oneself is not to assume some false external issues there, but to put the interest of the kingdom first and foremost in one's life. And I think that's what is getting down to, and that total commitment is that it's a kingdom lifestyle. It's the kingdom of God that we're serving. It's the kingdom of God that we're in. Amen? So total commitment, self-denial. Now, when I got into this and I started looking at self-denial, boy, here's another thing to get into. That I want to kind of take that up next week as far as the self-denial areas of what we got to look at. But next week we'll take up the area of self-denial and see what we can find in the scriptures that'll help us in some of this area. We find, and I looked it up yesterday as far as Nelson's dictionary for the Bible, self-denial is the act of refusing to partake of anything not necessary for life or service to God. The act of refusing to partake of anything not necessary for life or service to God. Everything we do needs to be serving Him. You know, as we have self-denial, it's being totally sold out. And that's not easy, is it? We got a lot of things in our flesh. We got a lot of things that we have to hold on to that we think of for ourselves. But I believe, and I've seen it in a lot of cases, that as you really sell out yourself, as you really get into the self-denial and everything you want to do, you want to let it be focused upon the life and the service to God, that He gives you rich abundances of life. You know, it's not like, you know, and that's the first thing that we got to get across, because usually in our own finite way of understanding things, when we tell somebody that you've got to surrender yourself, you got to give up everything and go serve Him, the first thing that they begin to think about is what? I got to give up everything. I can't give up everything. I got a life. I've got this. I've got that. I enjoy this. I enjoy that. I can't have, it's not easy to give up my stuff. But if we get into it and allow the Spirit of God to move in us and allow the Holy Spirit to help us and lead us and to direct us and be sensitive to God as He speaks to us through meditation, through prayer, through His Word, we will begin, and you will begin to see, maybe after 3 or 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years later, you look back and you go, you know what, I have surrendered a lot of my stuff and I am really totally sold out to Him. You know, and I'm living for Him, and I'm doing for Him, and I'm honoring Him. I want to honor and glorify my Father God. Amen. And that's what it turns out that we want to do. As we have that living sacrifice, as we are that living stone, as we are sacrificing spiritual things, spiritually by praise and worship and just coming together as a body and raising our hands, whatever the case might be, raising our voices up, acts of kindness, giving into the kingdom of God with our time, talents, finances, sacrifice. Talks about we bring the sacrifice of praise. All of these things. It's a sacrificial life that we should be in. Amen? And it's not easy. And it's something that we don't always want to do. But once we catch it and we glean the benefits of it and we say, oh, my Father in heaven is happy now. Nothing like having a happy father, huh? Think of us as a kid in the natural, you know? Would you rather have your father happy or aggravated? You know, I think you want your parents happy or aggravated? I want my parents happy. Well, do what they've asked. Do what they expect. Do whatever the case might be. And when I get into the realms of God, that's the same way with God. Do what He expects. Do what He has asked. Honor Him. Obey Him. Remember last week we talked a lot about sacrifice, but obedience is better than sacrifice. So don't get to this mindset like, oh, I'm going to sacrifice everything and it'll be just great. But I think as our obedience level is obedient and rising, your sacrificial life is going to rise too, because being obedient and sacrifice, but we got to make sure that we don't say, well, look what I've sacrificed. Look at that. Well, were you obedient in other areas that He's asked? No, but I did sacrifice this. Well, you really need to be working on that obedience side even more so. Amen? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So next week, we'll take up a little bit here on self-denial. That's why I was kind of tender. I want to be careful to share that because of this week. Maybe it's a good thing that there's a lot of people missing, because if I would have told you, next week we're going to talk on self-denial.